like pack searching through a 7-Eleven. So are the days of our cards. G'day everyone, welcome to Days of Our Cards with the Mojo King. Today we've got a really interesting interview. It's with Doug Clements. He was head designer for Team Coach for 7 years. And an original collector, one of the old school collectors who was at the forefront back when not many people were doing it. So, g'day Doug.
How are you, Stevie?
I'm very good today. Let's start with what got you into collecting?
Well, I don't know. I suppose I'm like everyone else. I was bored, but I loved the footy. But I collected other things as well, like art, girlfriends, too many of them. Now, I like the old cards. Because I love the footy, I like to collect that. But when I started, there was very little, there was no sellers really. The only places you could buy were some little antique shops.
Yep.
They'd have a fair in Hawthorne in a little church, and there used to be 7 or 8 sellers. But in those days, I had quite a bit of money, so I used to buy everything up.
Yep.
But
so you're at the forefront of vintage Scanlans.
Yeah. No.
Cigarette cards.
Well, the cigarette cards I probably love better than anything else because, you know, at the turn of the century, 1908, 1909 and that, I think what they did then is much better now. And obviously now, they overproduce it. Would you say that?
Yeah, to a degree, yeah.
There's too much of it.
Yep.
But the biggest problem has been that a lot of the collectors, they've turned into sellers.
Yeah, I've had this discussion previously.
This is, if you're going to collect something, collect it. You know, if you need the money and you got to sell it, sell it. But a lot of them now, these days, they're just in it trying to make a buck. There's so many of them, I don't think there's any money in it, personally.
Yep.
Would you say that or not?
I think the market's a bit ruined by every Tom, Dick and Harry is a seller. I don't see many collectors left, to be honest.
Well, yeah, the problem is with that, a lot of these people are not interested in the footy, which is very disappointing.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I love the game. Well, I love all sports. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to collect something, hang on to it.
Yeah.
I can't see what the point is opening all these boxes and you sell it off. And most of them don't make money anyway, you would think.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is, if you're a serious collector, you've got to collect your own team.
Yeah.
The secondary market, if you were going to be a collector, is you buy the better players.
Yeah.
You know, the Brownlows, the goal kickers, all the better end players. I think you've got a chance then, if you ever do want to sell it, that you've got some chance to sell it then.
True.
But I do think the market's been flooded, unfortunately.
So your love of the game was what got you into collecting footy cards?
Oh, yeah. The first footy cards I bought, I walked into an antique shop. I was looking for a particular light, and there was a shoebox there, and it was full of footy cards.
Okay.
And I think they wanted $20 or something for it, and I had a look at it, and I thought, oh, I'll buy those, and then that got me started. But in those days, it was only probably about 3 dealers.
Yep.
I used to have them come to my office and this and that, and I used to buy it all up. The old stuff, look, it's a different world to what the modern stuff is. Collecting the old is better in some ways because there's not much of it about.
Not much mint condition.
Well, mint condition is everything, even with the modern stuff. You know, if a card's got a mark or a scratch or something, obviously it's been devalued.
Yep.
But the old stuff now has become extremely hard to find in any sort of condition, unfortunately. Because in those days, the kids got it and handled it and put it on their bike wheels and all that. So it's basically disappeared, whereas the new, there's tons of it around.
Correct. What's some of the rarer stuff these days that you find hard to pick up? Because you're still buying older stuff.
Yeah, 1970, yep. Scanlan, very difficult to get, in good condition.
Yep.
You'd have to say some of the earlier cigarette cards, Incidents in Play, which is, I can't remember the exact date, might be 1912, very difficult to find.
Okay.
Any of that stuff, Snyder and Abrahams were the company at the time that did a lot of the cards. Some of the earlier stuff, say like in Bendigo and Ballarat, they did their own cards. They were sold in hairdressers. If you went into in those days there was no supermarkets, it was a grocery store. If you spent a certain amount of money, they give you a card.
Yep.
Some of that stuff is virtually impossible to find now.
Okay.
and quite expensive if you can get it. But you never see it surfaced these days.
You would have picked up a few bits and
pieces?
Yeah,
a lot of it I've sold, and the trouble is I sell it and I start rebuying.
Well, that's, you are a collector.
I'm a genuine collector. I have sold certain things to fund buying other things. I think when you're in this game, if you're a serious collector, you stay in it forever.
You do. Anything you've regretted selling?
Oh, yeah, a number of things. But I had to sell certain things at a certain time because financially I had a problem. So, there's a lot of stuff I would have liked to kept. But you can't keep it all anyway.
No, you can't. But what's that one thing that you got rid of that today it still eats at you a little bit?
Probably the 63 Scanlons. I've sold a few mint sets of that over the years. I don't have it now. They're quite hard to find.
That's still the Holy Grail.
Well, I don't necessarily think so. There's quite a few other cards that are much harder than that to get. There's no question of that. A few of the early, like Violet Nutty Bars. I'm trying to think of the other one. Clark and Alice, the cigarette cards. Very, very difficult. Clark and Alice were a confectionery company that did them. There was a lot of that before the Scanlons came in. Yep. Scanlons came in 63, and they only released them, only certain milk bars, in package. Yep. You could buy them. I mean, if I've heard some of the packets without the cards have sold for hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but now all that stuff really is gone. Even if you've got money today and want to buy it, it's not available.
Yep.
It's very, very difficult to get.
And the condition, as you said, is everything. It's very hard to find mint condition.
Well, when I was buying, I looked at mint, but I did buy some other stuff that wasn't mint just to fill some holes.
Yep.
But very, very difficult to get. But look, even some of the modern stuff's difficult to get. Depends on what the cards are.
Yeah,
the Brownlow Medal cards from 1996.
Yes.
100 cards, quite difficult to get.
Only 20 of them.
Yeah, in the early days, Steve Wang from Cardzone, or wherever he's from, China, is he? He went round to the fairs and he was buying them all up, and I was buying them up as well.
Okay.
But in those days, you could pick them up probably $30,
$40. Wow,
that's it. So what are they today? I wouldn't even know. $300, $400,
probably,
some of them.
I think I paid $300 for an Ange Christou once. Mm. Down a few years ago.
But only 20 cards, so probably of all the select releases.
And they're probably the ugliest looking card they've ever produced.
Oh, it's a shopping card. Well, the thing is with select and even team coach these days, the cards are all basically the same. They're not coming up with anything new, really. You're a collector, you would know that. It's the same old stuff. The thing is, they all produce too much. See, I think in team coach in 05, they might have did 8,000 or 9,000 boxes or something like that. Now you'd be in 30,000. In 1996, Select Series 1, I think 60,000 boxes.
Yes.
Series 2, 60,000 boxes. Then they did the metal cards.
Yeah.
Which weren't bad. And then they did the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
And then they did that other box you and I were talking about, the black box. So there was five times they released there. Now, the Hall of Fame, when they did that, everyone would finish. Series 1, Series 2, the medal. I went into Steve Wang's and bought 100 sets of the Hall of Fame, $15 each.
You did well there.
I think Wang would be spewing now.
But I remember coming to the market, and at the time in 96, people were dumping boxes, trying to buy boxes for $20, and people weren't buying them, which is...
I've still got quite a bit of it put away, stored away. But look, I don't know, is it worth anything today?
Yeah, I think that's still the one that...
Yeah, look, on that stuff, I mean, if you're going to put it away, I think that's a 20-year wait or something.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Well, you've got to look at the signatures, half of them have died.
Well, yeah, but also in the early days, some of the signatures were very ordinary.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, Select, I don't know whether they did them through the managers or whatever, but some of they used the wrong pen and smudges and all that, which is ridiculous. I mean, you're selling a product to the public. You want it really good, wouldn't you?
You would.
But look, who knows? The market has died a bit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's building again with the low-numbered cards. It's helped, but... I wouldn't want to see them do too many more lower numbered stuff. It's not the market for it. I think they've lost the the master set collector with too many cards. And well, I think now that's turned to the team collector, and if they do too many low cards, they'll lose the team collector as well.
No, it's all about, I would say, customers I've had, most of them want to collect the one team, like Hawthorn or Carlton or Essendon or something
and
like
that's
that.
Changed because once upon a time it was master set collectors.
Well, you know, to put a master set together, say Series 2 or Team Card, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, it is, yep.
It's not too bob. And then if you want to sell, people only want to buy a certain team. So technically what you end up with is all the Brisbane and the Fremantle and all that. If you're going to be a collector and you were looking to make money on it and want to sit on it, you take the top six teams out of Melbourne.
You do.
And probably the Crows and West Coast.
Yes.
That is the way to go. Because there is a bit of a market in Adelaide and Western Australia. But as I said, the problem's been that there's a lot of people I sell stuff to, and if I go to a fair now, half of them are there, they're dealers selling stuff. I mean, I don't understand that, because technically by the time they waste their time getting there and setting up and paying for the tables and that, they don't make any money.
No.
So I don't see what the point of that is.
No, I agree with that.
But I think with the new technology, the iPhones and computers and that, the new generation, are they going to collect stuff like that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the net's stuffed it.
It has.
In a way. Because everything's accessible now, where once upon a time you wouldn't find certain things and you'd go to that dealer and say, have you got this or you got that? Where now at the click of a button you can say, oh, look, there's 50 of those there and there's 20 of those.
So that's the problem. As I said, there's a lot of people involved in this that buy it, break the boxes, and then they go on eBay and sell it. And if technically you don't sell it in the first week, after a couple of weeks the price drops, doesn't it?
It does.
When I was at SEN, I worked there when they first opened. I had a memorabilia show on Saturday and Sundays.
Yep.
I used to get a lot of calls on all different cards. This is before the internet became so huge. You know, people want a price, and my standard answer, well, what it's worth is what someone's going to pay for it.
Yep. Where now, today, you give someone saying, oh, how much is this worth? They'll go to eBay.
Yeah.
And they'll look up 10 sold listings and say, well, they all sold for this.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, that's gone, that.
Well, technically, you could go to a dealer or whatever and buy a card for a couple of $100s. The risk is if you do need the money in a year or two, you might only get $100 for that card.
That's right.
So I think the day of the serious collector is faded. Now, whether that starts to come again, but the new generation, as I said, I think they're more interested in games on their computer and phone and that. So that'll have a significant impact on whether the collector market grows anymore.
Correct. Now, moving on to your time, well, your background first. What is your background?
I'm a clothing designer and retailer.
So you're doing that. What got you into Team Coach? How did that happen?
Now, well, I had the show on SEN.
Yep.
And everyone used to ring up and what's the price of this and that and what do you think of that? And Team Coach rang me and Wiggs World, you know, William Ellis Green, probably one of the most famous caricaturers in the world.
He would be in Australia, number one.
Oh, yeah, number one. And I sort of married them up.
Okay.
When I did 2005, I got him to do all the drawings for the cards and then design the card around that.
What year did you come into Team Coach?
I came in the middle of 2004. And then I did the 2005 to 2011.
What was the state of Team Coach when you came in?
Oh, I really don't want to... Look, he was doing something, but not terrific.
Okay.
Select had the market, but then I redesigned the whole thing. But in those days, you know, if you wanted a 205 wildcard, there was one only every two boxes.
Okay.
So they were quite...
So was that your idea?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try and make it, if you get the card, you're getting something pretty good.
Yes.
And, you know, Team Coach was a lot cheaper than Select at the time. But over the, like, 2006 and 7, Select then, because in 2006 I did plastic cards.
I couldn't get
the plastic I wanted. They had to get it from America. And the next year, Select's doing plastic cards.
They did the sketches, yeah.
Yeah, well, then he started to do sketches and all that to jump on the bandwagon. But Team Coach has got the junior market, the kid market. And I think what happened is Select went, well, you know, I want to get a piece of this. I'm losing customers. That's why he did all this. What he did was okay, but not terrific. I don't think it's value myself. But then I don't think anything, whether it's Team Coach or Select, I don't think it's value personally. That would be my opinion.
Just so for everyone to know, what do you have to jump through? Now, you're the head designer of Team Coach. What hoops do you have to actually jump through? As in, contact, do you have to go through the AFL? Do you have to go through this with designs?
Oh, well, it's a really sort of a semi-nightmare because you've got to go to the AFL and show them the designs.
So they
then
you've
got to go
off.
To the AFL Players Association and show them.
Yep.
But the license fees for all this is very expensive. And so when you see a price rise of something of Select or Team Coach or something, that's because the AFL, the licensing fee keeps going up.
Yep.
And it's very difficult to get a license out of them. Not that you would. I've been in there a number of times. They don't even know what they're talking about. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, they'd probably say differently to that. But I did a lot of work with Bill or Wegg, and he was a genius, mate. He could do a drawing. If I wanted a player, say Jason Nakamanis or Hodge or something, he could do it in 10 minutes.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. Absolute genius, this guy. And well, some of his early posters, the 54, he started doing all the posters for the
grand
AFL.
Grand winners,
yeah. Yeah, the Herald Sun
Premiership posters.
Royal Children's Hospital. Some of the, I've heard that the Bulldogs one sold 6,000-7,000. I sold a 66 St Kilda, which I bought a long time ago, I think, for 3,000 mint.
Wow.
But I think the prices on those have dropped a little bit, but they were seriously big money.
Well, in those days, were they throwaway items or?
Well, technically after the footy, in those days, you know, everyone used to drink. It's a different situation now.
Yep.
And they'd pay the $2 and grab a poster and scrunch it up or stick it on the fridge with thing. That's why there was never many of them left.
Yep.
But I believe that the Herald Sun has still got some stock of some of it.
Oh, wow.
That's what I've heard. I don't know whether that's 100% true. But, yeah, now his stuff. And then I got him to, from 54 backwards to 1897, to do all the retrospective posters.
Okay, yeah.
Which was done in conjunction with the Royal Children's Hospital and the Herald Sun. And then I got him to do all the Brownlow Medal ones.
Yep.
Which sold. I think they were selling for, I think they were $25 each.
Okay.
Something like that. That sold very, very well.
Yeah.
Because he's a very respected guy. But, yeah, look, all the old people in the game are sort of gone, I think. It's a different world. If you want to know anything about the footy, just click it onto the computer.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So it's a different situation now. But, no, look, I love the footy, and I'll, till the day I die, I'll still probably always collect.
Yeah.
Only certain things.
Once a collector, always a collector.
Yeah, look, some people get out because financially they need the money and all that. I think you said to me a while ago, there's a lot of people selling big collections at the
moment. Yeah, there is, yeah.
So that would tell you that it's a sign of the times they need the money or it's not. The trouble is you get the more sellers, the price comes down.
Exactly.
There's no question of that. So let me ask you a question. On the new stuff,
yep.
The first week or two, say the prices of the patch cards, how much has that dropped in the last few weeks?
Oh, it's dropped.
So what percentage? Say if you were getting 150 for a particular
20%.
And what would you think that'll be in, say, maybe 3 or 4 weeks or something?
Oh, it'll
like
drop again.
It'll
drop again.
So technically what you're saying, if you're a collector, you're better off waiting a month or two.
You are, but as a collector, or I'll speak on myself.
Yeah, but you're fucking hopeless. You got to have it now.
I do have to have it now, because I want it now. I don't want to have to worry about it down the track.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a big worry. I mean, it would depend on your financial situation as well.
Yeah.
But a lot of people jump in early and pay
they do.
A big price, and then down the track they need to sell it, they're looking to lose money.
But then there's the odd item that it may go down and then all of a sudden it goes back up. Honour rolls, for instance, which were part of Honour's.
I thought they were very ordinary.
But they dropped a little bit, but they've gone way back up.
Really?
Yeah, because once everyone stopped opening packets
and
people have put them into their collections, they seem to, you know, you can't find them anymore.
Well, your opinion, what did you think of the card? I thought it was ordinary.
You on a roll?
Yeah.
I didn't mind it.
See, the problem is with these people, they don't put enough work into the design or do something different. You see, with Select, basically, is the same thing every year, isn't it?
Mm.
Does the patch cards, you know, he does them again this year, all that type of thing. I'd like to see something new, and the same for Team Coach.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing all the time, basically. They just change the background or the border.
What did you think of the Magic this year, the silvery?
Well, the star I thought was very ordinary, and I said that to Team Coach.
Okay.
That's the oblong card.
Yeah, I
thought that was very ordinary. That could have been done differently. I thought the Magic wasn't a bad card.
Yeah, I liked it.
The background was very good. He spent quite I can tell you he spent quite a bit of money on that card.
Well, let's go there.
Yeah.
Materials.
Yeah.
What's it cost for the particular foiling? Is it a very high cost?
Well, it depends on what you want to do. I mean, Team Coach did that card that, you know, it moves and all that.
The Magic, yeah.
You know, the other card, I can't think of the name of it. You know, where he goes for the mark.
Oh, the...
I can't think of the name.
Jeez, I can't think of it either.
Anyway, to do that card cost a fortune.
Really?
To have that done.
The Flicks type of one.
Yeah, that has to be done by a specialist, though.
Okay.
That's very expensive to do that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they only sell for, what, $5, $6, $7 or something.
Yes.
But technically, that's probably the hardest card ever made here, that card.
Now, is that done in Australia?
Yeah, it is done here. Team Coach is not like Select. He does all his stuff overseas. Team Coach makes it all here because you have better control.
You do have better control, but is the technology in Australia here?
No, you can get it, yeah. Well, now, like 10 years ago, very difficult. Yeah. Now, I mean, we've caught up with the rest of the world. In fact, we lead the world in some of the technology on computers and all that.
Yeah.
So that's changed. But look, it depends on how much money you want to spend on that sort of thing, on materials. Some of the foils are very expensive. It depends on what you want.
Yeah.
And then you've got to find the right printer. Team Coach went through 3 or 4 printers. A few of them went broke, not because of them. But the printing game is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And unless you've got really good, solid customers, you can get into trouble very quickly in that.
Because there was problems you had... Well, Team Coach, when you were there, had problems with stuff getting out the back door.
Well, everyone has that problem. I think it wouldn't matter whether it was Team Coach Select or Arnott's Biscuits and all that sort of thing. The biggest problem, if you've got an account with the news agents or one of the big dealers, you know, it's all sale or return.
Yep.
So, I mean, you could sell cases and cases. You might get that back. Select's the same with Series 1, not 2. But you can get all that back. So if they don't sell it, so you're taking a big risk there.
Yeah, you are.
You're taking a very big risk there. But as I said, I think the card market's dropped, not dramatically, but it's come down a bit. We would know because we're at Dandenong at the moment.
Yep.
And his card business has dropped off dramatically.
Oh, it has. People coming through here's dropped off.
Well, I think because of the cost of living today, really when you're buying this sort of stuff, it's really like a luxury item, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah.
It's not something you're going to make money on straight away and you've got to put it away. And most collectors, when they buy stuff, they put it away, they don't look at it again.
No, you're right.
I would have thousands and thousands of cards I've never even seen.
Sitting in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the early days, in 94, when Select, well, Select was 93 really, but 94 he came with a big bang. The cards were made in America, actually. And I got involved in... Because I only used to collect the old. I got involved in the new because I was opening some boxes at home and my youngest daughter said, oh, what are you doing, Dad? And I said, oh, I'm trying to find these cards. And I said, well, have a go. If you find a gold card, I'll give you $5. If you find a signature card, I'll give you $50. So anyway, 10 cases later, she was making it. She was only about 6 or 7. She was making... $80 or $100 a week.
Oh.
And every night I'd come home, Dad, boxes. That was quite funny. That's how I got involved in the modern. But I would have got it anyway because I loved the game.
Did she stay in the game? Did she
not interested. She was interested in the cash.
Very smart.
Very smart.
Now, the pinnacle of Team Coach is the 05.
Yeah, I thought 06 was good. 05, yeah, it's hard to get now. It's hard to get.
That was revolutionary at the time because that was the first pretty much of the wild cards.
Yeah, well, the thing was, I did it in black and grey, and everyone goes, why would you do those colours? Because I wanted to do something different. I would have liked to jazz it up a bit more, but I thought, I want to make a statement and have a look at this.
Yeah.
But when it came out, it wasn't that well accepted.
Okay.
People, you know, because it was new and people select, but it's pretty big now, I'd say. But it's like anything, it's an evolution. You've got to, this is, as I said, I see the problem with Select and Team Coach. They're not really doing anything new. It's the same stuff basically every year with a few little twists and turns in them. That would be my professional opinion anyway.
What would you say they could do though? How far can they go?
Oh, there's tons of things you can do. There's tons. It's unlimited. But whether you want to spend the money to generate that,
yeah,
that is the problem. But look, the better card, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder. What some people might think is good.
Yeah,
some
that's true.
People might think it's crap. But you've got to give them something different.
Yeah.
That's how you keep the collector. Would you collect as much now as you collected before?
Well, back in the 90s, I was a master set collector.
Yeah.
That's changed for me with the amount of cards that come out now. Yeah, well, now I'm just a team collector. So
what would it, say Series 2 this year, Select.
Yep.
What would it cost you to get a master set of that?
Jesus. I'd be scared. Over 10 grand, I'd say.
Well, it's a lot of money. And as I said, if you get into a financial problem and you want to move that on, sure, you might sell the Hawthorn and the Carlton, Essendon, Richmond, Collingwood and that. But then all those interstaters, North Melbourne, Melbourne, the Dogs, not sellable.
Yeah.
So 50% of your money, if you're going to sell, is gone straight away, technically. And then it depends on how many buyers on there that are looking for that.
Correct.
That's the problem with it. But too many sellers. Now, all these people that buy these cases and sell it, are they paying tax on that or
I wouldn't have a GST? I doubt it.
Well, you know, that's an anomaly. I mean, some of these people are serious sellers.
Yeah, there are.
So I think with eBay, I don't know, I've never been on eBay, but I've heard that if you go past 10,000.
Yes, that's correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
But some of these people must be selling that sort of money, you'd think?
Yeah, you'd think so.
But then again, how many is there? How are you going to chase all those people up?
Yeah, correct.
That's the problem.
Going back to Team Coach, your time there, did you see any advancements and pickup? Were you there when it started taking off?
Yeah, no, we, after 2005, 2006 onwards, it boomed there. Couldn't manufacture enough to keep up at that time.
Was the original aim to be at the kids?
Well, Team Coach was always aimed at the kids. The early stuff really was whatever. It was pretty ordinary. But I thought that was the market to go for.
Yep.
The collector to me was secondary. And as it turned out, there is a lot of people that do collect Team Coach. I know that.
Yes.
But
seems to be mainly kids, though.
No, I aimed it at the kids. Well, the kids' market's easy because the kid goes into the newsagents or somewhere with the parents. Oh, I want this. You got to buy it for them.
Yeah.
Whereas the collector, you got to have a think about it.
Yeah.
So that's the difference in the market or how I envisioned it. But, you know, the kids' market's always going to be very strong. Well, it's going to be depend on the economy. It's very expensive to live here.
Yeah, it is.
So, but, you know, if you've got two little kids hanging off you, I've seen them here at Daniel Market, oh, I want two packets and three packets. Well, you know, that's a soda, isn't it?
It is. Also, were you there when the game part of it took off with the online?
Yeah, he started to do that. It's
with the prize
cards. But that's been taken over by, you know, a lot of people that get into that and get the prize card, then they go and sell it.
Yeah, well, that's...
So that's really against what it's meant for, technically.
Yeah.
Because that's a kid's thing.
It was meant to be, yes.
Well, I was at one stage spoke to them and wanted to put a limit on you had to be a certain age, but you couldn't do it.
Okay.
So just kids to get the cards. You know, that not only promotes collecting and makes them happy, but it grows the game as well.
Yep.
But unfortunately, there's a guy over here at Dandenong today, he does all the prize card, though I don't want to mention his name or something, and then they go and sell them.
Yeah, and they've got 100 accounts. And
Yeah. Well, you know, to me that's all wrong, but look, that's life and that's how it is. You're never going to stop
You can't stop that. Even with age, if you said you have to be this age, what's stopping them from putting in, I'm 10 or I'm 5? Yeah.
But some of the early prize cards that were very good and still hard, quite hard to get some of them. But it's like everything else, the price has dropped on that.
Yeah.
As I said, I think that's because the economy here is boomed unbelievable, there's not as much money around to buy that sort of thing now. That would be my opinion. Yep. I don't know what you think of that. But
now, also with the team coach, with the prizes, did you have anything to do with...
Nothing. Only designed the cards.
Did you have anything to do with the Premiership and the Brownlow on them?
Originally I did, yeah. I came up with that concept.
Okay.
Put this on and that rewards, you know, someone that's online and plays the game to win the card. It's very nice. So that
was interesting because originally that was a prize.
Well, how it started all because it was a mistake.
Ah, okay.
I got Wig to do some stuff and he put a Brownlow on one card. Brownlow on one drawing and then he put footballs on another.
Ah, okay.
And what happened is it went to the printer. I was away somewhere and didn't check it. And that came back the first little lot. And I said, no, stop the printing. Take the Brownlow off and take the footballs off. But some of it had already been packed and went out. That's how it started.
Ah, okay.
And then, of course, everyone got popular. So the next year we did it. That's how that started. It was a mistake originally.
Okay.
It wasn't supposed to be like that. Because when he did the drawing, I didn't tell him to put the Brownlow or the footballs. He just drew them that way.
Yep.
And then the drawings were computerised, put onto the card, and the first lot came through, and then I stopped it after a day and a half. So of the full production, those two cards would be 1 or 2% of the production.
Wow.
Very small.
So that rare.
Yeah. But look, you see them around.
Yeah, you do.
I used to go to the dealers and buy them.
Okay.
Because they were so rare, I was buying a product that I designed, which was quite funny.
Well, yeah, it is funny. It's
because I thought in years to come, because there's not many, they're going to be quite rare.
Yeah.
But there's not much of it around.
Well, some of them are still very rare, the Selwood and the Swan.
Yeah, I don't know why that I wasn't there then. That was 2012. I left in 2011.
Yep.
They're quite hard to get, and now I've never asked him why that was. Maybe they didn't produce as many, not as many people played the game. I don't quite follow that, why that happened. Because some of the others, you can get them.
Yeah.
So, but also it depends on the player. I mean, you're talking about Swan and Selwood. Technically, in the last, say, 10 years, they've been in the top 10 players,
yeah,
you have to say.
Correct.
That. I mean, Swan was a fabulous player, and Selwood is,
once in a generation.
He could have played in the 20s and 30s when there was all the rough stuff and all that sort of thing. No problem for him. But if you're going to collect your own team. But then, I bought a Nick Natanui, who I think is a fabulous player.
Yep.
So I'll still buy, I barrack for Essendon, but I would still buy out of there, you know, like Hodge, Riewoldt, all those sort of players.
Yep.
That's what I'd be interested in, because they're the players that make the game, really.
Now, you've been following footy for all your life?
Yep. Actually, as a kid, I met John Coleman. I was only 5.
Oh, okay.
My grandparents lived in Brunswick, and he owned the hotel on the corner. And
okay.
My grandfather, who was an alcoholic, came back from the First World War, was all, you know, we'd been shot and all that. He used to go there and drink there, and I used to go over, and I remember Coleman. He probably is the greatest player that ever lived.
So you're old enough to know?
I know the whole game back to 1897.
Yep.
I've got all the information on every
but
player.
With your eyes, you actually saw him play?
No. In then, that was 1951 or 52. He did his knee.
Yeah.
And he never played again. He played 98 games and kicked 510 goals, or somewhere around there. That knee that he did, these days you'd be back playing in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But in those days, they didn't have the thing, so he retired. He would have kicked probably 1,600 goals this goal.
Yeah.
Who in their first game kicks 12 goals?
Yeah, no one.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But really, when you look today, there's no superstars like the Locketts, the Dunstalls, the Ablets. It's very much more even now.
It is.
It's a team game, really.
Probably Franklin's the only one that...
Yeah, but even him, if you look really, they don't, you know, they go to him, but it's totally a different game now. I watched the Bulldogs Port Adelaide game, and the Bulldogs had 33 kicks and 69 handballs in the first quarter. Well, technically, it's not football anymore.
No.
The thing that annoys me, they get it on the back flank, they kick it the full back, he kicks it to the other flank, then he kicks it back. So technically, out of 100 minutes of football, probably 40 minutes of it is not competitive.
Yeah.
They're blokes on their own. The other thing with the game, it used to be man on man. Now there's three blokes in the middle, no one on them. What happened to all that?
Yeah,
I don't sort of understand it.
For me personally, I love the 80s football. I was a kid in those times, yeah. But I love the contest, the one-on-one contest.
That was a very tough era.
Yeah.
But obviously the...
But you had battles. You look forward to, okay,
well, Van der Haar against Chris Mew of Hawthorne and all that sort of thing. There were one-on-one battles, but that seems to be gone now.
Well, in your watching football your entire life, who's some of the blokes you've loved?
Oh, Gary Ablett Sr. I mean, I used to listen or watch to him every week. He was a genius.
Yep.
And you know, the guy never trained or anything like that.
No, he was just a freak.
Apparently, before the game, he used to have steak and eggs and all this type of thing, milkshakes. How could you do that today?
No.
They didn't worry about skin folds or... And apparently, he used to turn up for training, do two laps and then go in. That was extraordinary. But that was a different era then.
So he's your number one?
My number one player? Well, I'd have to say him. Coleman I love.
Yeah.
And Jack Dyer, I mean, I think was a genius. You know, when his last game he kicked 6 goals, Dyer, and then retired.
Yep.
But those were the days where they'd run by you and smash you in the head. Or, well, I played a lot of suburban footy. There's plenty of people that stomp on you those days. It's a different world now. But probably of the players I've seen, probably Ablett, Jesselenko was a genius. I've got to think Lockett, of course.
Lockett's up there with me.
Look at what's he got? How many goals?
14.
1460.
Or 13.
1360.
Yeah, yeah.
What's her name from Collingwood? That Coventry held the record 1299.
That's right.
1299 back in the 30s, and that must have been incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
How would you kick that many goals? And you got to remember those grounds were full of mud
yeah.
and rain and all that. How good was he? Absolute genius, mate. But the footy that I really would have loved to seen is the early stuff in the turn of the century in the 20s and all that. It must have been incredible. You know, that in the early days, there was only the chest mark. You couldn't mark over your head.
Okay.
It was called the little mark. And you could kick the ball 5 metres and it was a mark.
Yep.
That only came in, there was a guy from Essendon, I can't remember his name, took the first hanger.
Okay.
And that's how that developed. But the drop kick's gone, the place kick's gone, it's all been replaced by handball, mate. Actually, maybe they should change the name.
Even the torpedo, it's a dying thing. You don't see too many of them anymore.
Well, when I played, I mean, that's in the 60s and the early 70s. I mean, we all kicked torpedoes. The game was where the ruckman and the centre line players, they'd run to a spot and you'd kick it to there. There was no kicking it across the ground or... I remember I had one coach and I handballed to another bloke and he sent out the runner. He said, if you handball again, you're off the ground.
Now it's the opposite way. You kick it there, you might get off the ground.
Well, look, it's we're in a different era. But I think the coaching thing, it's overcoached. You know that?
Yeah, yeah.
They went overseas and they looked at the soccer. They looked at the basketball and all those sort of things. The coaching thing is ridiculous, really. I pay a coach $1 million a year is a joke. My theory is if you haven't got the good players, I don't care who the coach is.
Yep.
Makes no difference. If you haven't got the cattle to perform. But it's too technical now. You know, the spread and behind the ball. I still love it and I watch it every week. I watch the whole 9 games. But some of the games are pretty boring, mate.
Yeah, some are. I agree with that.
And the umpiring, you were always taught... to jump and grab the ball. Now, if you go under the ball, it's a free kick. I don't sort of understand that.
Well, even the hip and shoulder, it's a dying thing.
No, that's finished. You can't do. When I played, there was a lot of shirt fronts. That was normal.
Well, even going back not too long, that, you know.
That was how they played.
My memory, Voss cleaning up Richardson, Dermot cleaning up someone else.
Dermot and the guy from Geelong, what was his name, cleaned Dermot up. That was probably, that's the best game I've ever seen, the 89 grand final.
That's still your best?
Yeah, by a mile. Ablett, 9 goals, and Hawthorne were fantastic, but it was, well, Dipper played with a punctured lung the last half of the game. Who
broken
would do
ribs
that today?
For Dermy.
I've met Dipper a few times. Crazy bloke, mate. Seriously.
Yeah, you organised a few events for team coach as well with getting football players.
Yeah, no, I did a big one at Southland where we had Channel 10 there. I had quite a number of players. We did a quiz.
Okay.
That was all televised and that. I went to Chadstone to get a space there. I think they wanted $5,000 or $6,000 for 3 hours. We went to Southland. They were happy to put it on for nothing. Give us security.
Well, you get people there.
Yeah, no, there was, look, I don't know how many was there, over 1,000 people. And I had the players up and I'd ask a quiz question. We had all kids sitting on the table.
Yep.
And, you know, the players were fantastic. But I wanted to get Lance Franklin, but for half an hour, the money wanted was ridiculous.
Who did you get there that day?
I think there was Jared Roughhead. What's the little bloke from Essendon, the Indigenous player? I can't think. Fraser Gehrig.
Yep.
Jordan Lewis, who was a very nice fellow. I had a great time with him. I'm trying to think. It's a few years. It's 12 years ago. What was the little Essendon player? Played in the forward pocket. Indigenous, I can't think. Not Michael Long. Who else was there? The guy from Melbourne, Aaron Davey.
Flash. Yeah.
He's a very nice fellow.
You found him mostly down to earth?
Oh, yeah. No, easy to deal with, no problems. You could have a laugh with them, had a coffee with them. They're very nice people. But you've got to go through the manager, and there's a lot of mucking around.
That's the thing I don't think, because people always throw up, why don't they do this, or why don't they do that, or why don't they do this? I don't think people understand the hoops you have to jump through to get anything done.
Well, you know, what you're really doing is you're interfering in a privately in another person's life, really.
Yeah.
Because you've got to remember all these players that walk down the street, people want to talk to them. All right, they're earning big money and all that, but seriously, it's not, I wouldn't think it's a great job. I mean, they're under enormous pressure. You have two bad games and you're out in the twos, and then you're not allowed to have a drink.
Yeah.
They're drug tested all the time, skin folds. I mean, look, they're earning big money, but look, it's not a long profession. I did know the average of the games played overall from the turn of the century to now is not many.
Yeah.
I think it's 30 games or something like that. That's the average. So it's not a big career. If you get drafted and you last a couple of years and then they kick you out, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, that's what they're talking about with Dusty Martin. They're saying he should get everything he can now because he's got nothing after footy.
He's a good player, but I think Dangerfield's he's the best player in the game, him and Nat Fyfe.
Dangerfield, how good is he?
Oh, he's a genius. You'd have to put him up there with, you know, the best 20 or 30 players that ever played, I'd say. Easily, yeah. He's a genius, mate. He's a guy that gets into a pack and can get out of it. How many people can do that?
Yeah, not many.
And he can swing a game. The Collingwood-Geelong game on the weekend, I mean, that was very even. Collingwood, I thought, were a bit stiff to lose. But him in the last half, he was unbelievable. If you took him out, Collingwood would have won by 4 or 5 goals. There's no question.
So you put him that high, and he's still got another half of his career to go.
No, he's in the game at the moment, out of the 800 and something players that are listed on all the clubs, he's the best, easily.
Easily.
And that 2 weeks he got for the thing, I've seen another one on the weekend, no report.
Yeah.
So who's judging all that?
It's very inconsistent, the match review panel.
I think the speed of the game has done that, but then you've got three umpires.
You do.
How can one umpire not see something and then the other guy might see it. So how do you make a decision in the middle there? One umpire says, no, it's not a free kick, and the other one says, yes, it is.
Yeah.
So how do you work that out? But look, it's good, the three umpires. When I played, there was one umpire, and usually they're 50 metres behind the game. There could be a fight up the ground. They wouldn't even know what's going on.
Nah, correct. Well, that's stopped all the behind the play.
Well, they have.
As well.
The only thing I don't like is all this jumper punching and that.
Yeah, it's a bit.
In the early days, if they hit you, they hit you. You know, it was a different thing. I don't know why they do all that. It's no point because they're all conditioned for that, and most of them don't get up that set. Bit of push and thing. I think you're just wasting your energy, technically.
What's your view this year? Who's going to win the flag?
Oh. Well, I think if Adelaide gets the home final, which obviously I think they will, they win there, they go straight to the Premier League final. I think Sydney's the danger. I barrack for Essendon, and I want Richmond to lose this week so they go to fifth, so they play the Bombers. I don't want to play Sydney in Sydney.
Although Essendon had a good game there, they should have won that.
Yeah, they should have won that, but a couple of mistakes at the end. But look, by the time you get to the fourth quarter, you know, halfway through, they're all buggered, you know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
It's the running they do today, the players of the 70s and 80s and further back, even the 90s, they couldn't even run out a quarter of what they do today. It's more an athletic. You don't have to be a great footballer these days, but you have to be athletic.
You do.
If you can't run and you're not agile and quick, you can't play this game.
It's a bit robotic for me. That's the only thing. There's not too many characters left.
Well, they've knocked that out of all the players.
Yeah, they have. It's not just footy, it's cricket as well. There's no characters, there's no tennis, there's no characters. It's
well,
all
you can't,
sports.
With the scrutiny of the public, you know, if you listen to watch any of the footy shows or the paper, you know, a player picks his nose, oh, look at that. You can't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think there's a big drug culture in the AFL as well. There's a lot of that going on. I could tell you some stories about that, which I'm not going to, which was very common practice in the 80s, and it was out in the open, so that's all changed. But then again, if a guy gets drug tested for something, they only tell the doctor, the club doesn't even know.
Look at the Yaron thing that's just
popped
up.
Well, how ridiculous. That should have been stopped early, and they should have tried to help him early. He's gone through all that over the years.
Yeah.
What percentage of players in the AFL would you think we'd be taking drugs?
It'd be the same percentage as what is in society.
Oh, well, that's a big percentage now.
Yeah.
And what's the percentage in society, would you say?
20%.
Probably, I don't know. Could be even. They did some testing on the sewerage and all that, and it was huge, mate.
Yeah.
For cocaine and M&Ms.
M&Ms.
MDA or
shit,
whatever
I'm down
shit
for
it
M&Ms.
Is. and all that. I mean, that's society now.
Yeah.
I mean, we've changed dramatically. The values of what's happening now are totally different. But anyway, that's just, I suppose, progress, you can call it.
Well, you've been around a long time. In society now, you've seen people's values change?
Oh, dramatically. Yeah, dramatically. I mean, as you get a bigger population, a percentage of that population is not going to be, you know, too good.
Yeah.
So the bigger it gets, as I said, the percentage gets bigger. You've seen the crime rate here change dramatically.
Oh, definitely.
Because that's a lot more people.
Yeah.
And look, who knows? But that also, they're saying now, Channel 10, 7 and 9, they're looking at how much they're paying for the football and the cricket. It's got out of control now.
Oh, it is.
And all those stations are running at a loss because you can't get the advertisements now. They won't pay as much money. So I would think that the next bargaining agreement with the football, there's going to be a problem there.
Okay.
Oh, are they $2.1 billion or something for 5 years?
It's crazy, crazy money.
Crazy money. And here's the silly part about it. On Channel 7, which has got the rights, there's only 3 free-to-air games.
There is, yeah.
The other 6 are Foxtel. If you haven't got Foxtel, say I want to watch Essendon and it's not, they're playing Fremantle, it's not going to be on Channel 7. If I haven't got Foxtel, I can't watch that. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all the people that can't afford Foxtel, you can't watch your own game most of the time.
But then you can get the AFL app, or you can get the, you have to buy something.
Yeah, but you've still got to pay for that.
Correct.
You've got to have a computer or the app or all this type of thing.
Yeah.
So, but I think the football has become a little bit more mundane, a bit boring.
Well, spreading it to 18 teams, it waters down the playing when you had 12 teams.
Yeah, I don't think that's as much as a problem. As I said, the population's grown with that, so that sort of cancels it out a bit. It's the style of game they play. It definitely overcoached. I mean, I forget which game it was, Gold Coast, or I forget which game the other week. You looked into the box, there's 12 or 14 people sitting there. What could you all do?
Yeah.
Oh, send me out and get myself an ice cream or some shit. I mean, what are they all doing? There's people on computers. You just broke me car. People on computers and all. What the? A guy kicks a goal and they bring him off.
Yeah.
When you're hot, you're hot. Wouldn't you stay there and say, oh, look, this guy's playing well, leave him on, we'll kick some
goals. Yeah, you get on a run, that guy might kick two or three or four.
Well, that was the story, wasn't it? Oh, they've got a GPS on him. He's done 16 yards more than he should have. Take him off. I mean, how ridiculous is that? It's ridiculous. No, it's over.
As you said, the actual... Will you ever see a Greg Williams or a Tony Lockett ever again?
No. Well, they don't play that way. First of all, the key forwards. I mean, a lot of them, they're paying big money. But look, 60, I think it's from West Coast, 63 goals or something.
Kennedy.
Kicked for the year.
Yeah.
That's nothing. Peter Dacos, which was a half-forward flanker, kicked 98 goals in his second or third last year or something.
Correct.
Now, that's... We used to have Jezza with 100. This is in 1 year. Lockett, Dunstall. I mean, Malcolm Blight.
Modra.
He was a fantastic player. Modra.
Sumich. I think Sumich even kicked 100 one year.
He did. I think he kicked 101. But he lost the game. He had the luck kick of the day against Collingwood and kicked the point,
I think.
That's
right. But that was the highlight for me as a kid growing up. You'd go and look in that newspaper and say, what did Ablett kick? What did Dunstall kick? What did Lockett, who kicked the most?
I think Dunstall on the bounce said every week he used to look at, see how many Lockett kicked and all that. Well, Jezalenko kicked 100 one year.
Yeah.
And really, he was just barely, I don't think he was even 6 foot, Jezza. Amazing, really.
Well, it's amazing. I saw John Nicholls, and John Nicholls would be lucky to be 60. He's my height.
Maybe he's even shorter. Yeah.
And he was ruck.
Yeah, but the wingers are 6 foot two and all
that. Look at Patrick Cripps and Bont and Powley. They're 6 foot four midfielders.
Well, what amazes me, is it the food? Why is everyone so big now?
Yeah.
I played a key position player and I'm 5 foot 11.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you wouldn't get a game at that height now, would you?
Nah, you'd be a forward pocket
or a midget.
Yeah.
How are they so big? Look at that Danaher. He's 200 and something. What's that? 7 foot nearly, is it?
He's big. He's 6 foot seven or 6 foot eight.
No, that Cox from Collingwood, he's over 7 foot,
yeah,
isn't
he's
he?
About that.
He's not bad, actually. He's a bit better than I thought he was. He's, you know, obviously when the ball goes to the ground, you've got to bend down and pick it up, but he's not bad.
He's getting there for someone who hasn't been brought up with the game.
What do you think of Buckley? Is he going to stay or go? Or?
I think he'll stay.
I did some design work for him with telecommunications company, which had a phone card in the day.
Oh, I remember those, yeah.
I've got them at home, signed.
Okay.
I did the three cards for him.
It was Carey?
No. Oh, I did do Carey, but Buckley was the one that signed them all. It was Carey. Who else? I did one on the guy from Bali, Jason...
McCartney?
Yes, I did one for him.
Ah, okay.
I did 88 of those only.
All right.
Because 88 people, Australians, died there.
Yeah.
I did 88 of those. But I had a chat with Buckley, very nice guy. Couldn't meet a nicer guy.
Yep.
Down to earth, no frills, no I'm this or anything like that. Very nice guy. But technically, I think... If you look at the list and they bring another coach in, are they going to be any better?
Yeah, the list ain't great.
It's not
great. They've got an A-grade midfield.
Yeah. But if they get some other bloke in, you think it's going to make any difference? Not with that list. This is why I say the coaching thing is ridiculous.
Although does a fresh voice and a fresh idea help?
Yeah, but it does, but it still doesn't change the player's ability to get the ball or finish or like that. I mean, obviously, they're the biggest club in Australia. There's plenty of money there. I know Eddie. He's a very nice fellow as well. So they've got plenty of money there. They've still got the biggest membership. I think they've got 71,000. There's the other thing with all the memberships. You can sign your baby up, your cat up, your dog up. How many of those memberships are real?
Yeah, that's...
Some of them are three-game things. So that's not really a membership, is it?
No.
So those figures, I don't think they're
yeah, they don't bring out a how many are 12 games or full.
Well, have a look at Ross Lyon. Leaves St Kilda, genius coach, goes to Fremantle. Have a look at him now. Now,
yeah, team in crisis at the moment.
Yeah, well, you know, everyone says he's a genius coach. What happened? So if you haven't got the players, it's what I said before. I don't care who the bloke, if he's Albert Einstein, it's not going to make any difference.
No, correct.
You've got to have the good players. There's
yeah,
no question of that.
You don't have the cattle, I suppose you can't.
Well, then there's all the injuries come into it and all that sort of thing. It's funny, there's more injuries now than there used to be in the old days, the crash and bash and all that stuff, because they're moving a lot quicker.
Yeah, the pace of the game, it's...
It's enormous.
Yeah.
You don't really realise, if you go to an actual game, which I don't go to anymore, it's easy to watch them on TV, the pace of it is enormous. If you're not quick, you've got no pace.
Yeah, you're gone.
You're gone completely.
Well, look at Job.
Well, yeah, you could see the last few weeks, the pace has gone out of him.
Yeah, he's got no...
But then I looked at his girlfriend, he's going to New York, I'd rather do that. Personally.
Don't blame me.
But I think that drug thing is an absolute joke. But then it's Essendon's fault, they should have checked all that. But then
again, they should have just taken the whack like Cronulla did in the NRL.
Yeah. The problem with I saw with all that is they sent the samples of the players to Cologne in Germany and it came back negative. So then how could you charge them? If you got done for, pulled over here for, you know, the breathalyzer test, and if the test comes up negative, you go on, don't you?
Yes.
So how would you... No, that was the...
Has everything come out on that, though? The AFL hush-hush a lot of stuff, I reckon.
Oh, I think there was a lot of shit behind the scenes. I mean, a lot of stuff we're never going to hear of. But I found the whole thing ridiculous. And you know what? They weren't the only club doing it.
No.
You know, the Gold Coast was involved. Melbourne was involved. No, I think the AFL were just looking for a scalp to say, hey, look at us, we're up with the drug pitcher, which was ridiculous. So, look, that's the way of the game. It's a pity, but there's only another this game, then the bye, and then four games, it's over.
Yeah.
I got to wait till next year, mate.
Well, we're at about the hour mark. We'll wind this up.
Okay.
It's been a pleasure having you on. I've wanted to get you on for a while.
Where's me check?
In the mail.
No, I want cash.
Oh, Jesus. Typical. It's, yeah, been fun to talk to you about Cards and where they've come from and where they're going. Pleasure to have you on, and I'll get you on again sometime.
Yeah.
Thanks
all
a lot.
Out there, just keep collecting, guys.
That's it.
It's a bit of fun. It's better than drugs, alcohol, fast women, slow racehorses. Collecting's a lot cheaper. Trust me, I've tried all the others.
Yes, you've been there and done it. Well, that is it. I'll catch you on the next episode of Days of Our Cards. Thank you very much.
Go the Bombers! Guys.